You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk
are go.
Former Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has been arrested by the International Criminal Court and will be tried in The Hague for crimes against humanity. The charges relate to Duterte's war on drugs, which included him boasting about killing people and threatening critics with death. He released death squads that killed mostly young men from impoverished towns in an effort to target drug dealers. While police data shows 6,000 were killed before the end of Duterte's presidency in 2022, some rights groups say the death toll is closer to 30,000, including bystanders. Duterte will be the first Asian head of state to go to trial at the ICC. This also comes as the ICC has faced criticism for other, more controversial current arrest warrants, including those against Russian President Vladimir Putin and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. United States President Donald Trump has also recently authorized new sanctions against the ICC and rejects their jurisdiction and authority. I spoke to Dr. Yvonne Breitweiser Furrier from Curtin University in Perth about Duterte's arrest and broader issues facing the ICC. I started by asking why Duterte's arrest has been called a pivotal moment for the ICC.
It's pivotal for a number of reasons. One of the biggest ones was probably the prompt action taken by state authorities. So the arrest warrant for the former president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, was only granted at the beginning of March, like mid-March. I think it was either the 11th or the 12th. And only 5 days after, he was apprehended by the state authorities of the Philippines and just immediately been put on a plane to The Hague, to the International Criminal Court. In recent years, that is probably the fastest arrest warrant has been executed. The other reason why this is such a pivotal moment for the court is that he's actually the first former Asian head of state that is before the International Criminal Court as well.
What has the reaction to Duterte's arrest been from both within the Philippines and across ICC member states?
Great question. So it's been mixed. Within the Philippines, Duterte still enjoys a lot of support. So there has been an outcry to bring Duterte back home and essentially for the ICC to release him. However, there's also a lot of support for the action that has been taken by the Philippines state government to bring him before the ICC, particularly by the families of those who were the victims of Duterte's war on drugs. So it's twofold, and the victims are then obviously supported by a lot of civil society organizations as well. In relation to ICC state parties, so all the supporters of the ICC, it's the ICC essentially just doing their job. So there hasn't been a massive cry for, yes, the ICC has done something fantastic, or contrary, really. So the Philippines case, or rather the case against Duterte, is probably one of the least controversial ones that's in the headlines in relation to the ICC at the moment.
Why has his case been able to progress when other cases have not?
That's, again, a fantastic question. So all of this hinges on the jurisdiction that the ICC can exert in relation to a specific case. In relation to the Philippines, the jurisdiction of the ICC is fairly straightforward in that the Philippines actually used to be a state party to the Rome Statute, which is the founding treaty of the ICC. It was only in 2018 when the Philippines withdrew from the Rome Statute but this also takes a year to take effect. So the ICC effectively has jurisdiction over any war crimes, crimes against humanity, genocide or aggression that took place in the Philippines until 2019, when the withdrawal of the Philippines essentially came into effect. And in that sense, anything that's happened before that can be brought before the ICC, regardless of whether the Philippines is a state party to it now or not. Which means that Duterte, as being the former Filipino president, is able to be brought before the ICC as well. In relation to some other cases that are before the ICC, particularly the more controversial ones, there are a lot of arguments why, for example, the arrest warrants for Vladimir Putin, being the current Russian head of state, or the arrest warrant against the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, are outside of the jurisdiction for the ICC, being that those alleged crimes were not committed in either Russia or Israel, that neither one of those states are actually a state party to the Rome Statute and never were. And the Security Council of the United Nations also never referred those cases, those situations to the ICC. So those are the arguments, the main arguments that are being brought against the legality of the arrest warrants of the situations in those instances. However, the ICC does still enjoy jurisdiction in relation to both those situations, being one is centered in Ukraine and the crimes that are being committed in Ukraine, and the other in relation to the crimes being committed in Palestine as well. Because there is such controversy in relation to those specific situations, it's also taking the court a little bit longer to essentially be able to execute those arrest warrants if they ever will be able to.
Can you speak a bit more about the broader criticisms the ICC is facing, and how could Duterte's arrest impact these?
So the ICC has had a turbulent history in that its creation was heralded when the Rome Statute was first ratified, essentially, was first created in 1998, and when the court first took on operations in 2002, my apologies. But soon after it began its work, it started facing criticisms for having a perceived focus on Africa, in that all the situations that were brought before the ICC at that point were in African states. The first situation outside of Africa was brought to the court it was brought to the court some years after that, until essentially 2016. So that's quite a long time where the ICC essentially just focused on Africa. So that was one of the biggest criticisms it faced. In more recent years, it's also faced criticisms for its limited effectiveness. That relates back to the question you just asked previously, in why some situations just seem to take forever to progress. It's perceived hypocrisy in why does it investigate some situations and doesn't investigate other situations? And also that it has a lack of support from some of the major powers around the world, most notably from the US, Russia, as well as China. Duterte's case, while it's been pivotal in giving the ICC a much needed win, is unlikely to change those broader criticisms that the ICC is facing.
One of the criticizers, US President Donald Trump, recently authorized sanctions against the ICC. What was the reason he gave for this?
Well, the reasons are many, and it's not the first time that the US actually authorized sanctions against ICC members. So sanctions were first imposed against the former prosecutor of the ICC. The reason why sanctions were authorized recently was essentially in an attempt to paralyze the ICC in being able to carry out its work. Reason being, essentially the arrest warrants that were issued in the situation of Palestine, and most notably against the Israeli Prime Minister, as well as the Defense Minister as well, seeing as Israel is very close allies to the US.
Given the current uncertain nature of global geopolitics, what does the foreseeable future of the ICC look like?
The ICC will very likely just try and stay on course and continue to get its successes in where it can. There will likely be situations that will continue to be ongoing before the ICC for a very long time. Currently, it has some ongoing investigations before it since 2003, and that is due to issues in relation to cooperation or just not being able to apprehend the suspects that will allow them to conclude or even progress their investigations and potential prosecutions before it. The ICC is likely to continue to face criticisms. However, it does have the support of its state parties predominantly, and most recently, 79 states did independently declare their support for the ICC following the sanctions authorized by the US as well. Obviously, all the criticisms that the ICC is facing isn't doing any good for its perception globally. It does require the cooperation and support of not only its state parties, but also other states worldwide to be able to effectively execute its mandate that it's been given, which is to fight impunity for those international crimes that are within its jurisdiction. So in that sense, every criticism it faces, the sanctions that a lot of ICC officials are now faced with, do hurt the court's ability to effect that mandate. It hurts its legitimacy and its authority and can have significant consequences for its operations going forward. So really what is needed is for the state parties of the Rome Statute to rally around the ICC in support.
That was Curtin University's Dr. Yvonne Breitweiser-Ferrier on former Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte's arrest by the International Criminal Court and the broader issues the court is facing.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.